There's a lot going on right now in this nation. And different people from different places in life are putting their hopes in one person or the other, being the elected president. But Christians, let me just remind all of us that we have a king, and he's ruling even now. And his kingdom is advancing even now until all things are made new. And that's the greatest reality. And throughout the history of the church, the vast majority of Christians have thrived under governments that didn't support Christian values, who actually persecuted. So the good thing about Jesus is he doesn't run for election. The only election he wants to win is the one in our own hearts where we choose to acknowledge him as Lord. Amen. This is from Matthew chapter 3. Now think about this as Israel and the context in which the Jewish people were living. They were basically an enslaved nation. And Rome, which was a godless nation, whose Caesar wanted to be worshipped as deity. That's the reason he took the census to find out how many people lived in Israel, because he was trying to know how to raise taxes, because some of the statues he was building in Rome to honor him, he was acknowledging himself as deity. He wanted to know his worshipers, Augustus, how many worshipers he had in his kingdom. And he wanted to for them to support him, the statues and all the monuments being built to him. Not a very good environment, thriving environment for the people of God to function in. Politically and in every way, it was a very oppressive and difficult and hard time. Some of their own people, like Matthew and others, had to survive and turned on their own folks and were collecting the taxes. And they didn't do that in a very nice way. Yet it's in that context. It's not in an environment of whether it's Christian rule or a country that says one nation under God. It was that environment that people were living in that they were very aware of their geopolitical world. And they were on their tiptoes looking for the Messiah. There had been several come in these days of Christ when he came that had come saying they were the Messiah, but they turned out not to be. And so when John the Baptist shows up, if you remember in John chapter 3, John the Baptist says, I'm not the one. And he said that because people were looking for the Messiah and they thought he might be the one. So it's an environment where there's such oppression going on politically in every way, that like that, that they were looking for the Messiah because they thought the Messiah was going to come and cast out all their enemies, establish the kingdom of heaven in a physical way first, and geopolitical would be Christ and Christ the Messiah ruling. So that's their mindset. That's their mentality. And in that mentality, John the Baptist shows up in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Matthew. Said, in those days, the Holy Spirit wants us to understand those days, the context is important, where people's mindsets were, what was going on in their lives. John the Baptist in those days arrived preaching or proclaiming in the wilderness of Judea, saying, it's always been interesting to me that he went out into the wilderness between Jerusalem and the Dead Sea. It's just a barren area where a lot of nomadic people live and just desert and ravines and rocks. He didn't go into Jerusalem or into Bethlehem to preach. He went out into the desert and people had to come out to him. It's interesting to me that sometimes God will make it not difficult, but he'll test people's heart's desire, how much they want him. How desperate are they? He was saying again and again, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here, pressing at hand. Now, what was he to do? He says, and for this is the one who referred to by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. So he's declaring that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's preparing for the king's arrival. Jesus manifested expressions of the kingdom, but I believe the kingdom was in the grand opening of the kingdom. Was, you know, you have stores that will open, they have little pre-open things, restaurants will, but the grand opening was the cross and resurrection, which is so significant because at the cross, whoever, what you think might need to happen in America so you'll be happy, the reason for human unhappiness was taken care of at the cross. The solution for humans to be able to know joy and happiness and blessing happen in the resurrection, new creation. No government, no land. I mean, I can make things easier, I guess, but many times that's made the church softer. Now, John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt about his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And then Jerusalem was going out to him and all Judea and all the districts surrounding the Jordan. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bring forth fruit in keeping with your repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, 'We are Abraham's our father.' For I say to you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham, and the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. And every tree, therefore, does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you in water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not even fit to remove his sandals. He himself will baptize you with water, with fire, Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing forks in his hand, he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus is baptized himself. Then there's the coming of the Holy Spirit on him. I love this story because when I think about what was going on, what was John's baptism all about? Jewish people had a tendency, if you were a Gentile and you decided to become a Jew, a Jewish proselyte, they would baptize you as an expression of cleansing, as you confess your sins of following false gods and idols. And so for John the Baptist to start baptizing Jews was a real slap in the face. It was a real confrontation. But what he was saying to them when he said later, "You might say to me, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, that you're good, you're in good place with God because you're Abraham's offspring." He said, "I'm telling you that Abraham's offspring can be raised up by rocks." Is that what you've been trusting in? This is what he was saying to the Jewish people. What you've been trusting in, you've got to abandon and decide, are you really going to be a follower of God and not just some system that produces all these rules and regulations and stuff? It's empty things. And so people came because they were hungry. They were looking for Messiah. And John's announcing the kingdom that you've all been looking for, that kingdom which in their mind was going to save them from the cruelty and the harshness and the unhappiness that the kingdom of Rome had brought. He said, "It's here, it's at hand, it's now. So come join something other. Be cleansed." You know, the truth is still today. The kingdom in which we find happiness and favor, whose king is ruling now and who's advancing his kingdom now until all things are made new, the source of our happiness because we're in Christ and we're part of his kingdom, that's happening now, and nothing, no election, no person, no earthly king can alter that reality. That's a fact. That's why they were coming, because he said, there's an alternative. You've got to turn from that and turn to the kingdom, because all the other kingdoms don't work. And then John says, this is the way life is going to work in the kingdom. He says, he's preparing for the kingdom. He's announcing that the kingdom is at hand. That's a big, huge statement to them. The prophecies they believed in, the expectation they've been having. And then he says, look, the one coming after me who's bringing the kingdom, because the kingdom's at hand, he's bringing the kingdom. He said, look, I baptize in water for repentance, for cleansing, for just simply owning that what you've done, what you've been, that can't save you. That can't transform you. That can only be found in the kingdom. He's not baptized in water for repentance, but he who's coming, whose way I'm now preparing, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So think about what he says. He says, the kingdom is here. The word there, here, literally means it's squeezing up against us. It's like right here. You don't have much time. You better jump in. It's here. And he says, the way life will work in the kingdom is a different baptism will happen. You will be immersed in the Holy Spirit and the fire of God. The unction, the anointing, the passion, the purpose of a life in Christ. You know, it says in Romans 6:3, Galatians 3:27, that we're baptized into Christ. Gosh, we've talked about that so many times, haven't we? You've been baptized into Christ. The baptism of the Holy Spirit that he talks about here, and fire, is being baptized into the very life of Christ, he says in Galatians, and you've clothed yourself with him. That's life in the kingdom. Christians, people in Christ, carrying the fire of Jesus for life. What does that mean? Think of what all that means. The people who were lost are so aimless. I'm watching Christians get so despairing. It's okay to believe in, pray for, vote for, do all those things. But as if our whole hope is in one certain person, another certain person get elected. That is just tragic and a deception. I thank God for America, but it's not the kingdom of heaven. But the way we live as citizens, it's not just that, okay, I'm cool, we prayed the prayer, we're part of the kingdom. No. You've been baptized into the life of Christ, which is a baptism into the Holy Spirit and fire. His passion for life, his power for life, his sense of purpose. And that's got nothing to do with what kingdoms are going on around us. That's our citizenship. That describes, what's a citizen in the kingdom of heaven? Oh, somebody who's been placed into Christ, baptized in the Holy Spirit and the fire that God carries in his belly for life, eternity, the power of God. That's our citizenship. And I'm going to wake up tomorrow, and that's going to be true. And I'm going to wake up on January the 18th, and that's going to be true. And this time next year, that's going to be true. And when the fire of God is burning inside of your belly spiritually, there's no place for despair, aimlessness, and confusion. As a matter of fact, people who carry the fire of God, they are like torches running into the darkness. The darker it gets, the more impact they have. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.